Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Joining us right now is a guy that covers our Atlanta Falcons for ESPN, Mark Raimondi. And Mark, it's funny because we just spoke with you last week about all the things that were going down with the front office and Terry Fontenot's conversations. And as soon as we get done with that, boom, they fire the DC and they fire defensive line coach Jay Rogers. Tell us what you know as of right now and where this is with the search for our new DC.
Yeah, this all kind of came down on Saturday, and it was I think it was a huge surprise. As we talked about last week, guys, when Raheem Morris did his kind of end of season wrap up press conference, he was asked about changes, and his answer was changes are inevitable. You know, changes happen every offseason. I think a lot of people, if they were reading between the lines, it felt a lot. Like his press conference right before they named Michael Penix Jr. as the new starter quarterback. So it almost was like he was telegraphing something to come, and that ended up being the firing of Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator, and Jay Rogers, like you said, the defensive line coach. And I think, you know, I think if you're a Falcons fan, I think what this says to you is that this is accountability, right? This is something that they saw. They saw this was not working. We all watched the defense this year. It was not up to par in most games. There was improvement after the bye, but for the most part, not a very good defense. And they took action, and now the search will commence to get a new defensive coordinator in the building.
Does it matter? We were just talking about Robert Saleh, Mark, 4-3, 3-4-ish. I mean, does any of that matter? I mean, certainly the cupboard is a bit bare. We just don't seem to have guys who can get the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's on the table. I'm sure, you know, Raheem Morris is a longtime defensive coach, and he has his own vision, and I think he probably likes someone who would align with that vision, whether that's someone from, you know, the Sean McVay, Shanahan coaching tree, or someone that he has experience with in his career, maybe someone like a Jeff Ulbrich, who was here, you know, at one point. Those are all guys that I could see, you know, being in the mix, but yeah, like you said, it's a defense that would not – a complete overhaul would not be completely out of the question.
So with that said, let's talk about the D-line coach, because I think that's a big deal. As I said, it's kind of under the radar because we were all talking about Jimmy Lake. But Jay Rogers being let go, mm-hmm. The D-line needs to improve. Now, again, we've got to get, you know, some better players. But at the end of the day, I also think there has to be development with all these young guys we have, Mark.
Agreed, and I think a red flag is someone like Brandon Dorlus, who a lot of people coming out of the draft, you know, yeah, third-day pick, but a guy that at Oregon played very high level, and people thought that at least by maybe the second half of the season, he'd be a guy who would be in the rotation, right? And that did not end up happening. I think he played two games, was inactive most weeks, was not injured. And then a guy like, you know, Rook Arororo, who was injured, and obviously that was a setback, but I don't think he was also someone that developed as much as they would have liked. And we definitely saw signs of that, right? We definitely saw promise there. But I think people thought that he would have been further ahead, right? He was inactive for the early part of the season as well.
Right.
So I don't know if that's necessarily on Jay Rogers, but obviously that was something that the front office and Raheem Morris saw that was not, you know, not up to the standard that they wanted.
It's a Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com. Not Jimmy Lake's fault that some of the guys they brought in can't stay healthy. To your point, you just mentioned, we just spent some time last segment talking about, what do we have with Troy Anderson? You know, I mean, and how does he fit in this? Is this guy ever going to be able to stay? I mean, a silly question. Can he stay healthy?
You know, it's funny, after that Saints game, you know, here at Mercedes-Benz, where, you know, he's literally the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's got a pick six, and he looks like a guy that can change games from the inside linebacker position, right? I mean, you guys mm-hmm. you guys watched that game, and he really does not play the rest of the season. I mean, that's a lot of bad luck. But when he's out there and healthy, which he was not when he came back, which led him to going back to, you know, to going on IR to end his season. When he is healthy, he can be a force in the middle of the field. He's got great speed. He's a great athlete. And, man, you know, there were times this year where they needed a guy that with that kind of sideline to sideline speed like Troy Andersen, because, you know, that was an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Speed was definitely an issue, especially in the middle of the defense. So who knows? You know, it's like he re-injured his leg late in the year. And is he going to be ready for OTAs, for training camp? I mean, it's 2 years now where he's missed most of the season. So he is a hard guy to rely on. But when out there, he can be, you know, a force.
Yeah, I was just looking at Troy Andersen. And again, I need to double check these numbers, but he's only played in 26 games in the last 3 years.
Yeah, 9 games last two.
Yeah, 2-23 and 7-24. So, but he did play 17-22. 22 seems like a long time ago, and that's part of the problem. We are talking with our man Mark Raimondi, ESPN Falcons reporter, as we talk about the news that came down over the weekend, guys. And as we move forward in this offseason now, you know, part of getting this right is getting the right defensive coordinator. Is there somebody with the names that are being thrown around that you feel like would be, as of what we know right now, a good fit? You know, whether it's Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich, Ryan Nielsen, who was here. I mean, there's a lot mm-hmm. of stuff that's being thrown around out there. As I said, some of this is misdirection because I don't think all these guys are real candidates. But nevertheless,
right.
Do you like any of the names that you're hearing?
I mean, I feel like a guy like Saleh is kind of like the A-list candidate, right? You know, he's got experience as a head coach. He was a great defensive coordinator in San Francisco, but I'm just not sure if he ends up here. He doesn't really have like a direct connection to Raheem Morris or the Falcons. So I think there's probably more realistic options out there. Maybe even someone like a Dennis Allen. You know, he doesn't necessarily have a connection to Morris, but he's from Atlanta. You know, his father played for the Falcons. Maybe not the greatest head coach in the world, right? But pretty darn good as defensive coordinator for a long time, Dennis Allen. Someone like that. You know, someone like a Brandon Staley. You know, someone who has that experience. Jimmy Lake did not have experience as a defensive play caller. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. He was not a defensive coordinator. He was the head coach at Washington. He was an assistant head coach with the Los Angeles Rams. He never had a defensive coordinator role. And that is a tough, you know, a tough job to, right. You know, pick up on a team that were the expectations where they would make the playoffs, and they did not.
Talking with Mark Raimondi, guys, from ESPN, focusing on the defense because Jimmy Lake gets got in a slow news cycle dump on a Saturday. He's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. On the offensive side, I thought that, you know, there were certain limitations to Cousins, and then he got good, and we'll never understand what the hell happened there in the middle. But what grade would you give Zach Robinson based on what he had to deal with?
That's a tough one because there was so much change, when I say change, I mean like you had good Kirk Cousins at the beginning of the season, first 9 games. You had inexplicably not good Kirk Cousins right in the middle of the season. Then you had Michael Penix Jr. So there was a lot of change in what they wanted to do. I would probably give him like a C+ or a B- Zach Robinson. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't think he did poorly. It was his first year as a play caller. I think that you saw at times, especially when Penix took over, some of the creativity, and look, some of that backfired, right? Some of the creativity backfired, but you could see a little bit more. It feels like Penix fit the offense that he wanted to run more than Kirk Cousins did because of there was just no mobility with Kirk Cousins. Even when he was good, there was no mobility, and Penix was able to get out of the pocket more. They ran more bootleg. They ran more play action. I think he's going to end up being a pretty darn good offensive coordinator and play caller.
And just as a follow-up, the offensive line, does it say static? Do they try to improve? I know McGarry is the blind side now technically in the center position.
You know, I think that they really like their offensive line and where it is. And there are some guys on the line that have their limitations. But the fact is that they're a very tight-knit group as human beings as well as players. You know, Dwayne Ledford is a very good offensive line coach. And that room is so close. It's so tight. There's a rapport there that you can't that's kind of – the rapport is more than the sum of the parts. So even though maybe some of the guys on the line are not going to be all pro – they gel together well as a group. And you even saw that when guys like, you know, Ryan Neuzel came in and Storm Norton and like Kyle Hinton, you know, it was almost like it was interchangeable. Those guys came in and they did pretty well right off the bat. And that's because of that, you know, kind of what that room is. And I think that they want to keep that together.
Mark, great stuff, man. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll keep our ear to the street, as they say, to find out what's going on. And make sure you check out Mark Raimondi at ESPN. Thanks so much again.
Thanks, gentlemen.